World Financial Group.
Hour two. 7 o'clock. We only have 2 hours of the show left. Of your Monday edition of Justice and Drew is underway.
We had a lengthy discussion about bees off the air because there was some confusion over which bees die and which ones don't. So it's a honeybee, right? When it stings you, it leaves behind not only the stinger, but also part of its abdomen and digestive tract and muscles and nerves.
Gross.
So they die.
That would hurt. Like bee body inside you, basically.
But solitary bees, bumblebees, and wasps do not die when they sting you. Do they mock the honeybee? Don't do it.
Hey, go sting that guy.
I dare you
to go sting that guy.
Bill did it, and Bill the bee.
I went and stung him, and look, I'm still here. You'll be fine. It's all good. Just do what I did.
What a horrible.
And they get all the other wasps. Like, hey, watch this.
Watch this stupid honeybee.
I talked Jerry into going to sting that guy.
Stupid honeybees are endangered now.
Watch, his guts are going to come out.
So every honeybee that stings somebody, like, is the endo is like, hey, I got you.
I don't know. I imagine it's more like, you know, because they're all about protecting their queen. And I imagine it's more like, you know. I'm for the queen.
They're like the unsullied of the bees.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, they are. Felt like Sam just like grabbed that joke and just ripped it right away. It was funny. It was really funny. That was great. All right.
Joining us now, as he does every Monday, it is our DC correspondent, Andrew Langer. Good morning, sir.
You know, it makes the joke entirely different when we find out that Daenerys Targaryen is essentially a Marxist on par with Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders.
Wow. Whoa. We were just talking about bumblebees here, Andrew Langer. Come on now.
Yeah,
does that make Trump Jon Snow?
I could go all sorts of places.
Yeah,
that, I
think we need to get to number five on Sam's top five.
Number five.
There are some new laws taking effect on July 1st, along with the state's new $48 billion budget. From the Associated Press. Here's some of the highlights.
And Andrew Langer, we figured we'd bring you in on this too, because maybe you'd like to comment on some of these.
We've got some new laws. These laws that we're about to list off are coming into effect on July 1st. So that's just coming up. New laws on marital rape. The legislature repealed a so-called marital rape exception that had prevented prosecutors from filing criminal sexual conduct charges against people accused of sexually assaulting their spouses.
This was overdue. This was one of those things. It needed to be repealed. It needed to be taken off the book so that defense could be taken away.
The impetus came from Jenny Thiessen of Andover, who went public after prosecutors dropped a felony charge against her now ex-husband, who drugged her and made a video of himself raping her while she was unconscious. He served only 30 days in jail for invasion of privacy. Governor Tim Walz said, no longer will this antiquated and shameful law be on our books. He said that as he signed the bill into law with Thiessen looking on.
I guess the question that I have, and Andrew Langer, I don't know if you can add anything to this. The question I have is, why was it there in the first place?
Old ways of thinking, I think.
Is that what it was?
I think so.
Yes, we call those the Keith Ellison ways of thinking.
Spicy. I like it.
Yeah, it's very, very honeybee-esque on that one.
Thank you.
We've got wage theft. Minnesota will have what sponsors say is the country's toughest wage theft law. It comes down hard on employers who cheat workers by making it a felony punishable by up to 5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. An estimated 39,000 Minnesotans annually are victims of wage theft in some form.
This is going to be one that you're going to want to keep your eye on, because what constitutes wage theft is kind of vague. So I'm going to be very curious to see if there's even, you know, a prosecution on this, something moving forward on this. And if that does happen, what that looks like and what the argument is that constitutes wage theft.
Well, and Drew, it gets more complicated as the definitions as to who is due overtime and who is not due overtime shift. This whole debate at the federal level, certainly between what are called exempt and non-exempt workers, who's a manager, who's just a regular worker bee, not to use that analogy again, but seriously, no pun intended, but this is something that has gone back and forth for quite a bit of time here, especially as the labor unions have been trying to redefine who is an hourly worker and who should be salaried.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this one ends up, you know, playing out and how it's enforced and how often it's enforced as well.
Beginning on July 1st, drug manufacturers and distributors will now have to pay much higher registration fees, which will raise around $21 million annually to help fight the opioid epidemic in Minnesota.
And again, I like what they're doing. Like, the list of things they're going to do with the money is great. Like, it's all the things they should be doing, and a lot of awareness, a lot of messaging involved. I just do not like the way that they're getting the money. I hate the way that they're pulling this money.
Yeah, they're going to end up, the bulk of that money is going to come from people who are using these opioids responsibly, or at least in the way that their doctors have prescribed them to.
Well, and it's going to, of course, you know, drive people out of the marketplace. I mean, the harder you make it for somebody to do business in a particular area, the fewer people you will do business. So, I mean, this is always the twin sides of this. You know, you sort of essentially create this tax, and that's what it is, and it drives up the costs for the folks at the lowest end of the income spectrum, and it makes it much harder for everybody else.
Voters who participate in the Super Tuesday presidential primary in Minnesota will get a little more privacy after July 1st, but only a little when they go to the polls. March 3rd in 2020, voters must cast either a Democratic or GOP ballot. The original state law returning presidential primaries to Minnesota made lists showing the party choice of voters publicly available to anyone. But when these new laws come into effect on July 1st, those lists are going to be disclosed only to major political parties rather than being available to parties, candidates, fundraisers, and interest groups. So now these major political parties can still use them for fundraising and voter outreach.
Yeah, this is a law written by political parties that benefits political parties. That's it. There's no benefit whatsoever to the average voter here, and there's no privacy either. You know, I'm sorry, but it's nobody's business which party I decide to go and cast a ballot for. It is nobody's business. Not that party's business, not any candidate's business, not my neighbor's business. This is just to make it easier for the major political parties to raise money.
Yeah, this is the essence of cronyism. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's using government, and that's what bothers me. It's like this is a great example of political parties. You want to see bipartisanship, put something together that benefits the parties. Then they'll work together to make sure it happens. Put something together that makes it harder for a third party to actually get that major party status. Then you'll see the Democrats and Republicans working together. Excellent job, Sam. Stellar top five. Thank you to Early Bird Electric for sponsoring Sam's top five.
Thanks.
All right, let's switch some gears here. Andrew Langer, MSN, Trump's erratic policy moves put national security at risk, experts warn. So, it's not...
Experts like Bernie Sanders,
right?
To be really clear here.
So it's no longer Stormy Daniels anymore, right? And so it's no longer Russia collusion. It's no longer obstruction. So now we've pivoted all the way back around to Trump and his erratic behavior. And as you said, it's being pushed by the individuals that'll be debating later this week.
It really is like someone spins a wheel and whatever comes up on top, that's the theme of the week. This is the question that I keep asking people if you are not a Trump fan. What is it that you wanted the president to do on Thursday night? Did you want him to kill Iranians or did you not want him to kill Iranians? And if you're someone who is a leftist progressive and you wanted him to kill Iranians, then explain to me why Barack Obama didn't do this in the many years that he was president. I mean, are you really saying you want to start a war with Iran? This is the question of the day.
Well, and it's also, look, in the three things that it says in here, Trump's approach on three issues, U.S. immigration, customs enforcement raids, Mexican tariffs, and Iran. And again, you can apply that same sort of questioning to those other issues as well of what did you really want him to do? And specifically with the raids that were supposed to take place over the weekend, he didn't. Drew, you said it perfectly. You know, he played the left on this one, you know, exquisitely in how he laid this out. So there is no pleasing, and there never will be anybody on the left when it comes to President Donald Trump. And this is proof right here that we've spun all the way back around to his erratic behavior. There's anything that they can try to grab onto to criticize this president.
Well, I'll tell you what was helpful for me about this whole thing is that it exposed. I had no idea, for instance, and I do radio in Baltimore. I had no idea that George Soros's, and this is no joke, this is going to sound conspiracy theory. George Soros's sole field office for the Open Society Foundation is in Baltimore. And I had no idea. And they immediately came out along with the mayor in opposition to these ICE raids. And it enabled me to sort of peel back and say, wait a minute, these folks have been operating in Baltimore for 20 years, and yet they have not solved one problem in Baltimore at all. And yet this is what they're calling for. No, I agree with Drew. The left totally got played by this over the weekend.
I loved it. I mean, it was kind of vintage Trump. You know, you put this thing out there, you give everybody the opportunity to run to the cable news networks or run to their Twitter machines and talk about how reprehensible and terrible and awful this is. And now this can't happen. And then he says, okay, fine. We won't do it. Well, pass a law.
And certainly look for more of this as we move into the Democratic debates on Wednesday and Thursday. Because what it does do, and this MSN article certainly underscores it, because it's, you know, replete with everybody who's running, or many of them who are running for president, is that they all say the exact same thing. There is no sunlight between any of these candidates.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And, you know, keeping with that theme of spinning the wheel of Trump criticisms, not only are we back to erratic behavior, but we're back to stuff being leaked. Leaked Trump vetting documents show a number of major doing that thing with my fingers. Red flags were raised about top officials during transition. I read through this whole thing. I don't know how you read this and don't walk away going, the natural assumption being, as we said earlier, like every single transition team would do to every single person they're going to hire for that administration?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. If you remember the chaos, listen, I remember. I had friends who walked into the West Wing of the White House in January of 2003. No, January 2001. And the amount of chaos that had been sown by the Clintonites who were leaving was insane. So the idea that there's not some kind of chaos in transition is just idiotic. And remember, that it was Jim Comey himself who quipped at the 92nd Street Y just a few months ago that he took advantage of the chaos to send over a couple of guys to go and trump up, pun intended, trump up Mike Flint.
Well, and the part about this that really concerns me is this nearly 100 internal Trump transition vetting documents were leaked to Axios on HBO. And then the whole piece from Axios just details what was in here and all the individuals and the red flags, supposedly. But what concerns me more is the fact that this stuff is getting leaked. I mean, that to me, at least for me personally, that's the bigger story here. Why does this stuff keep getting leaked? Who keeps leaking this stuff out there? And why have we become so accustomed to it now? I know why these are all hype. These are all real rhetorical questions. But
John, see, it's not just hyperbole. It's interesting because this gets into this Bill Staffer who got sentenced to 4 years last week. You know, a lot of this has to do with people who feel this false sense of self-importance and entitlement, that they then feel like they have free rein to engage in this behavior because they have a hero complex and they're going to save the republic from this menace that is Trump. This is the same thing. You know, the staffer, Strzok and Page, and so on and so on.
And this shouldn't come as any surprise. This is not a shocking news story or expose. This is called the vetting process for any incoming administration. And then you have to also remember that this was an incoming administration that really didn't have any real friends within the Republican Party at the time.
Oh,
right?
That is an excellent point, Drew. I mean, you know, it's funny because one of my best friends in the world was clearance counsel for the White House for Bush 43. So she was vetting people, and it's a tough, tough process. It's a tough process that's even more tough when you have managed to alienate people who were supporting one of the other 15 candidates running for president on the Republican side. And it's even more complicated when you come in there and said you're going to drain the swamp. So it is a big, you know, it becomes a big bugbear. But I have a good friend, a friend we both have, I'm actually wondering if she's in these documents, who was a very solid Trump supporter, and who was frankly very salty when she did not get asked to join the administration. And you know, it's one of those things where she quit to me months later. She goes, you know, it would have been easier if I supported one of the other candidates running for president to get a job at the White House for the amount of attention you gave me.
Well, and before we let you go, spinning back to something you said a moment ago with regard to the leaking, when we are currently in a place right now where Trump is called all these horrible, awful things, told constantly by the talking heads and the blue check marks and the celebrities and people on The View that he's doing criminal wrongdoing on, you know, he's breaking the law on a daily basis and impeachment, then, you know, to what Drew was saying, yeah, it is no surprise this stuff gets leaked because there's no accountability. There's no holding anybody, for the most part, unless Trump finds out who it is, there's no holding the individuals who leaked this stuff accountable. And you're right. Why wouldn't those individuals feel like it was their duty to put this information out there to save the country based off of all of the nonsense criticism that is out there surface level, whether it's the mainstream media or whether it's Twitter?
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, it's interesting. Someone said to me when I was thinking, but someone said, hey, Andrew, are you going to apply for a job in the White House? And I said, Well, no. I mean, I was a Trump skeptic. They said, well, you never got personal. And I said, well, of course I got personal. I mean, I got very personal about Trump as he was running, as I would get more and more frustrated. I mean, listen, it is a situation. Here's the reality. The reality is the other part of the story, the more important part of the story, in addition to the fact that these documents got leaked, and that's an important story as well. Listen, we should be really impressed that the Trump administration did any level of vetting at all.
Right.
That's really kind of astounding to me. As we sit there and said, oh my God, they actually looked at Scott's background and Tom Price's background.
That's an amazing point. You're right. I mean, and it was good of them to do so. Of course they should. Like, the shocking leak would have been, We got 100 pages of documents, and it showed that Trump didn't vet any of these individuals at all and just hired them all on a whim. You're absolutely right, Andrew Langer.
Andrew Langer, always enjoy our Monday chats. Thanks for joining us. We will catch up with you, not next week, because we'll be on vacation next week. So we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Talk to you in a couple of weeks, guys.
Take care.
Coming up, we'll continue talking a bit about the, there's a debate coming up later on this week with the Democrats. Joe Biden got in a little bit more trouble. Sanders is proposing some awful things. But more specifically, Star Tribune, Senator Amy Klobuchar looks for breakout moment in high-stakes primary debate.
Ooh, we'll see if you think she's going to get one.
Newsflash.
Is Esme Murphy asking?
FM.
+1 989 5855 is the phone number. We would love to hear from you. You can also hit #250 on your mobile device and just say TCNT. That'll get you right in there to the Queen. The Queen Bee.
We haven't talked about that yet.
Do we have to like stick people with our fuzzy rumps and have our guts get pulled out to defend our queen? Is that how this works?
I don't believe so.
Officially a queen.
Like, do you still have the? We should get into this. We haven't talked about it yet. Do you still? How long do you get to hold the queenie title?
The Queenie title is mine from January to December.
Queen of what exactly?
2020. I am the queen of the... I am Miss Buffalo Rodeo.
Yeah?
I'm the new queen.
Did you get a sash?
I do, actually.
Did you get a tiara or some sort of headgear?
Crown? It's a giant crown that goes on your cowboy hat.
Goes on the cowboy hat?
On the cowboy hat.
Okay.
Yep.
Seems like it would be better just to give you like a cowboy hat that is crown-like. Like as a design of a crown, perhaps around the brim. Like,
okay, well, it's like a you have a cowboy hat, know. And then there's a crown that's like a hat band, basically, that you put on it.
Okay,
so yeah,
you're queen of the Buffalo Rodeo.
I am Miss Buffalo Rodeo 2020.
What is the next level of competition? Then where do you go from there?
So there is if you so choose to compete, there is a Miss Minnesota Rodeo.
Okay,
yeah.
Are you going to?
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe.
You're going to go shank some competitors?
That would not be very queenly of me to admit to anything like that.
You're going to send your Unsullied after your competition?
I'm getting all Tanya Harding up on this?
Jakari's. All over him.
Should put a post up. You got I assume
Yeah, I'm waiting on some photos.
There's some photos and stuff?
Yep, there's some photos that I'm waiting on, and then I'll be posting all about it. I'm really excited. I spent the weekend at the Buffalo Rodeo, at all three nights of the rodeo, and then as well a couple nights beforehand, just helping out with different events and everything. And it was an absolute blast. I have not been so heavily involved in the behind-the-scenes aspect of a rodeo before until this weekend, and it was a lot of fun. Made a lot of new friends, did a lot, worked hard, and it was a blast.
What power do you have? What kind of power can you yield? Can you wield?
I'm mostly an ambassador and representative for the Buffalo Rodeo.
That's not nearly as much fun. You should be able to decree.
You should be able to have something. You need to decide something.
Turn somebody into a newt.
Like if somebody
doesn't give me magical powers.
So like, do you have to go represent at other rodeos now, and can, like, if a rider in a particular rodeo displeases the queen, can you call for their head or something?
I cannot, I mean, yes, this
queen thing is starting to suck.
Yes to the question of can I go to other rodeos and represent. Yeah. Yes to that.
And if a rider displeases you in some fashion,
no to that. Yeah, that's not within kind of my purview.
You're like the lamest queen I've ever heard.
But
you're not a queen at all, so
if you're requested. If your presence is requested to, say, to, like, visit children at a hospital, do you have to go in on a horse?
No. Okay. But that's something that the 2019 queen has visited hospitals a couple times, so it's part of it.
One more question. If you go to one of these other rodeos, like, say you go to, I don't know, like, St. Cloud, and you go to the St. Cloud Rodeo.
Okay.
Can other riders bend the knee to you?
Oh.
And declare themselves, you know, like loyal to the Buffalo Queen, and then thereby, you know, start like a St. Cloud Buffalo War.
You know what? I'm not saying that they can't.
I like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm gonna encourage that.
I say that every rodeo I go to, I'm going to ask
open rebellion
everyone,
in every other rodeo.
Do you bend the knee?
Bend the knee. I am your queen.
We all know how this ends.
I'm not going to lie. I'm very much looking forward to seeing the Sam the Mad Rodeo Queen. That's going to be
with her fire breathing goat.
That's going to be fun to watch. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, well done.
Yeah,
Thank you.
The queen of the Buffalo Rodeo. We are honored to have you as a part of our program.
I'm very, very excited. Thank you very much.
So we will, in a few minutes here, we will dive into Senator Amy Klobuchar looking for a breakout moment as we preview the Democrat debate coming up. First off,
it's gonna be really funny to watch her try.
It's just, here's a Justice and Drew TCNT news alert about her having a breakout moment. She won't. From therap.com, this is a few days ago. So this woman, E. Jean Carroll, had come out and accused President Donald Trump of sexual assault in a department store dressing room back in the 90s. Also accused former CBS chief Les Moonves of aggressive groping in an elevator. Okay. Now, we have audio here that we'll play for you in just a moment. And I believe this comes from MSNBC, John Levine. I saw the audio, and this is what we wanted to play for you. Her reason for not going after Trump, which is what's in the audio, but I didn't know I'm like, she's got to be promoting something, right? And sure enough, I found the story from The Wrap. It's a book.
Yep.
It's always a book. It's always a book.
Books is hard.
She needed some press.
I need to make some false allegations in my follow-up to Embark, apparently.
Would you consider bringing a rape charge against Donald Trump for this? Why not?
I would find it disrespectful to the women who are down on the border who are being raped around the clock down there without any protection.
Hold on.
Yeah. Do we have to?
Women are being raped around the clock on the border without any protection.
Mm-hmm. Clearly she writes fantasy.
I mean, unless she's talking about like the drug cartels, I don't know what she's referring to there.
The coyotes?
Yeah.
That do that to women and then leave garments on trees.
How would it be disrespectful to them to go in? If anything, you are doing those women a favor.
Right.
By moving forward and trying to press charges against someone that you allege raped you. You're not doing other rape victims any favors.
Right.
By saying, nah.
Nah.
We'll let this one pass. That's how more people get raped.
Right.
When there are no consequences for those. Doesn't make any damn sense.
We will we'll play the rest of this audio coming up, and then we will dive into a bit of a preview of the Democrats and their debate coming up on Wednesday night, I believe. Is it Wednesday night, I believe, is when the debate occurs? And that's when Amy Klobuchar could have her breakout moment.
We're with and 103.5 FM.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Welcome back. You are... Monday edition of Justice and Drew continues on. In just about an hour, we're going to be joined by Mr. Wright, Jason Lewis. Get caught up with him, see what he's been up to.
We'll get into all of the stories that broke over the weekend, really since Friday. Kind of started with the Star Tribune finally doing their job when it comes to Ilhan Omar and the controversy surrounding her. We have some audio to play, and it is relevant, but we will all find out how to say niece in Norwegian during that conversation, and it is incredibly relevant.
Well,
to the story,
it's relevant,
incredibly relevant. it's all the relevant. Before we get into the debate that will be taking place this week on Wednesday with the Democratic candidates, we were focusing in on just briefly this writer E. Jean Carroll, who accused President Donald Trump of sexual assault in a department store back in 1995. This was on MSNBC, and again, this is the rationale she gave for why she's not going to go and press charges. These claims were made in a book excerpt that was published on Friday.
Would you consider bringing a rape charge against Donald Trump for this? Why not?
I would find it disrespectful to the women who are down on the border who are being raped around the clock down there without any protection. They're young women. They've, you know, tried to come into the country. They're, as you know, they're there by the thousand. The women have very little protection there. It would just be disrespectful if I, you know, and mine was 3 minutes. I'm a mature woman. I can handle it. I can keep going. You know, my life has gone on. I'm a happy woman. But for the women down there and for the women, actually, around the world, you know, in every culture, this is going on, no matter high in society or low in society. It just seems disrespectful that I would bring a... It just doesn't make sense to me.
No, your answer doesn't make any damn sense.
No, E. Jean Carroll, you just don't want to say anything because you know that it's not true.
Right.
Your answer makes no sense whatsoever. And certainly, I cannot speak from any sort of position of authority on this, and I concede that up front. But I have to imagine that for women who have been sexually assaulted, you know, you want accountability. You want people to be held accountable. You want consequences for the assaulters, the attackers, the rapists. And to say that for somehow going after somebody who sexually assaulted you would be disrespectful to other women who are also suffering from some sort of sexual assault or rape, That is mind-blowing to me. I mean, how does that help anybody?
And let's attach this to something we talked about at length towards the end of last week. And I'll set the stage with this. One, Why didn't she bring this up prior to going and putting it in her book and selling her book, if it mattered all that much? It's pretty clear why she didn't, because she needs to go and sell books. And she's going to sell a blank ton more now because she's made these allegations. True or not, it doesn't matter. But to what we talked about last week, here's the thing. That, Drew, you're 100% right, right? It's ridiculous. Her excuse is an excuse. It's nonsense. Last week, we talked at length about Taylor Swift and her, you know, you need to calm down video and the controversy surrounding it, right? And how people were pushing back on her because she was capitalizing on the LGBT community and being woke now. At the same time, you had MasterCard with their new, you can choose whatever name you want to choose, and there's no pushback. Why is there no pushback on E. Jean Carroll for the same type of reasoning?
Yeah.
Right? Because you're right. She's not doing anybody any favors if these allegations are true by not pushing forward to hold them accountable. She didn't before the book came out. It's clear that even if the allegations are true, it's clear that she's using those allegations to just go and sell more books. She going to donate her proceeds to some, you know, hashtag Me Too, you know, approved organization?
Oh, I so sincerely doubt it.
Is anybody going to go and push back on her for capitalizing on this to go and sell? Give me a break already. It's so transparent.
It actually makes me angry to hear that answer.
Right.
You know, to use women being raped as your rationale for, I'm not going to go and press charges again. I'm not going to try to pursue anything. I mean, if this really happened, don't you have an obligation to move forward and try to demand some sort of accountability or consequences?
Not necessarily an obligation, but like almost a responsibility,
yeah.
Especially if you're going to be public about it. I understand the like not wanting to like disclose what happened to you. I understand not being like dealing with something on your own. And I'm not saying that you are necessarily obligated to go and try to press charges, because everybody handles things in different ways. Everybody copes in different ways. But if you're going to use this to sell books, if you're going to go out there and you're going to say all these things, and then to say that your reason why is because it's disrespectful to other women, you're just not that. That's just, I mean, that's
it
just,
sounds like she wasn't prepared for that question.
It sounds, you're right. I agree
that's
with
what
you.
That answer sounds that like to me. Like she was not prepared for that answer. She did not know. All she knew was that the answer to whether or not you're going to press charges, she knew the answer was going to be no.
Right.
But she was not prepared or couldn't think of a good reason.
She gave you like a made up pageant girl answer where she just kind of spit out the first thing that came to mind.
And what does that say for any other person who legitimately had a man go and, like, I read that, and we won't get into it on the air. If you want to find it, go find the rap story. She gave out the details. She was shopping for some clothes. She was apparently with President Donald Trump, and at the time, this was in 95, she was with Donald Trump, and he wanted her to try something on, and he, like, pulled her into a dressing room with something. It was something like that. But what does it say to any other woman out there who has had legitimate things? What if it's, you know, Monahan? It's Ellison's accuser. To have this woman go, well, you know, there's more bigger issues involving women than mine. Does that not diminish other women who've been assaulted by men to go?
It feels like it to me.
Right?
I mean, I'm not a woman. I can't say.
And if you're Karen Monahan going, like lady, you know?
Yeah. It certainly feels that way to me. If Trump did what she alleges that he did, then he needs to be held accountable. There need to be consequences. I mean, and for, you know, everybody out there that's been the victim of some sort of sexual assault, I don't know. I mean, I imagine if trying to sort of put myself in their shoes, I feel like I would be infuriated.
Yeah.
By that answer.
I wish that there was a level, like, I would really appreciate a level of honesty, and I'd even give it to her if she was asked, you know, why did you come out with this now? She just straight up said, because, you know, I need to sell some books, and selling books is hard, so I figured if I put this accusation, which is true, right, I put it in the book, then it would help me sell books. I'd be like, you know what, at least you were honest about it, but she's not going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, she won't do that. And trust me, I need to find out what kind of salacious thing can I put in my next book?
Well, it doesn't need to be in the book, but when the book comes out, then it needs to accompany the release of the book.
Okay. Oh, okay. I got you. Right. Well, there's a lot of fanboys that always claim that George Lucas raped their childhood. Maybe I can go that route.
How about John McCain grabbed your butt?
He did grab my arm that one time forcefully.
Oh, just yeah. Swap out arm for butt.
He actually did. This is actually a true story. We were at a Republican meeting, and this is when he was running for re-election. I don't think he was running. No, he wasn't running for president yet, I don't believe. But we were at a meeting, and he was on the show frequently. And he grabbed my arm and like pulled me aside. And like I was, and he held on to it. And yeah. he's like, so, you know, I just wanted to know, what are the people, you know, what are your listeners saying about the campaign and all that? And I didn't care. I wasn't bothered by it. But he was like really intense. So yeah, I can. John McCain assaulted me.
John McCain groped you.
And then Meghan McCain will comment on it.
Yep.
Hey.
I don't get on The View.
All right, let me. Yep. No, I don't want
to. Trump will probably tweet about it because, you know, he still has that feud with McCain.
John.
Think of all the books I could sell.
You know what? You know what, John? I support you.
I don't want to sell books that way, though. I don't.
Book sales are book sales,
it's
John.
It's like getting a free hug without the motivation behind it. Like, if I want people to purchase the book because they like the synopsis. I don't want them just buying it under false pretenses of sympathy.
You got to do what you got to do, man.
Like they bought the first book. You know, I don't want them doing that. Well, John wrote it. I feel bad for him, so I should probably buy a copy.
I'll buy a couple.
Buy a couple. Yeah, that's my mom. At one point I had to ask her, how many copies did you buy so I know, you know, how many? It doesn't matter. Anyway.
651-989-5855 is the phone number.
All right. A dozen minutes into a debate with U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar last October, her Republican opponent went on the attack.
Ooh.
They were in a debate.
Yeah.
They were in a debate.
Right.
But the Republican opponent saying, and this was Jim Neuberger, that Amy Klobuchar has a 90% rubber stamp compliant voting record with her leadership. So when you talk about reaching across the aisle and achieving things, I'm not seeing it. That's an attack.
What a brutal attack. Oh, man, he pulled no punches.
How did she ever come back?
She was ready. Judy Keene writes for the Star Tribune. She was ready. Klobuchar was ready. She had voted more than 40% of the time with Republican senators from South Dakota, North Dakota, and Alaska. She said, I try to work in the middle with people that want to find actual solutions to things and not just grandstand on them. Boom! Yeah! Suck on that, Neuberger!
Wait, hold on a second. I thought we would want to wipe out on this, but can't you have done both? Can't you have been? Like, she didn't push back on the 90% rubber stamp compliant voting record with her leadership. She just added that she also voted 40% of the time with Republican senators. So it wasn't even. Okay. Anyway, okay.
I know.
The,
it's just a little anecdote that the Star Tribune could put in there because isn't she great?
Judy needed something.
Look at how she shut down that awful Republican.
I'm sure.
Who was attacking her.
Judy felt very proud of herself when she started that. Judy goes on to say, the stakes will be even higher on Wednesday when she debates nine of them. Oh, I guess the other ones aren't polling. Nine Democrat presidential hopefuls in Miami. Ten more will face off the next night.
Yeah. We've got so many, they have to break the debates up into two nights. This is crazy. Who's going to watch both nights? Like, how sad do you have to be?
Well, who's... Did they split up? Right, you're right. I mean, unless you're a talk show host. But I haven't seen the list yet. I don't know if we should look into it. Did they split up, like...
Yeah, they based it off...
Are all the A-listers in one night and all the B-listers and then C-listers in another one?
Pretty much.
Oh, they should have mixed it up.
Pretty much. They based it on, you know, the... your polling numbers, your fundraising numbers, how many donors you had, things like that.
If you're going to have two nights of debates and you're not going to adhere to the polling numbers, you should have one debate. Yeah, then it should have been a random draw.
Random.
Yeah, I want to see Swalwell with Kamala Harris. Right.
Sleestack with...
I want to see with Bernie.
Sanders.
Yeah, exactly. So Judy goes on to write, it will be Klobuchar's best chance so far to impress a national audience.
Yeah, the two town halls didn't really do much for her.
Nope. She does acknowledge Klobuchar could use a boost in Iowa. Oh, it's not just Iowa.
Not just Iowa.
She could use a boost in Minnesota.
She's like in fourth place.
Yeah, yeah.
Home state.
In her home state, she's in fourth place. That's just sad. She should be sad.
That's when you guys are supposed to cheer.
Klobuchar has studied the 2016 and 2012 Republican debates to prepare for the PAC stage. Why? Why? why are you studying Republican debates? You're debating your peers.
Oh, she's so dumb.
Why?
Sign up for mine, and you can text Amy at 91990, or you can go to our website at amyklobuchar.com. I did that, team. Thank you.
Michael Dreher, who teaches political communications and is the director of forensic speech and debate at Bethel University, said, Klobuchar is pretty good in terms of not committing ... unforced errors.
Yeah, what did you leave out, Judy Keene? What did you leave out there? That's a weird ... That's a weird place for a ... right?
Oh,
sure.
Oh, my version has it filled in. It's crimes of passion.
Klobuchar is pretty good in terms of not committing something. And then at some point later, he said the words unforced errors, and that's now the quote.
Those crimes of passion. She's not. She's pretty good in terms
she's
of
pretty good.
Committing.
She's not great.
Not great.
I mean, she's you know, she's
passionate about some things.
Yeah, salads specifically.
And oh, that's right. Ooh.
It's very passionate.
That was very spicy of you, Drew.
All right, we have a little bit more to get to in this, and then we'll dive into Ilhan Omar and the controversy. There's a funny moment later on in the article of. It's the group of individuals that Judy Keene, who wrote the article, reaches out to for advice.
Yeah.
And then the people in the article who also give Amy Klobuchar advice that's most interesting.
I know. This article reads like, you know, a cry for help, right? Like, we really want to help Amy.
Yeah.
We really want her to do well.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a whole article giving her advice.
Yeah, exactly.
651-989-5.